now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Ezra Peregrine. Happy New Year to you all.
It's 2025 and the fight has already started. Trans rights being those on the agenda.
And health are leading the way, as Steph finds out, talking to Susie Green.
And the new year can't start without a song or two, can it?
Bristol's LGBTQI+ and Harmony EQ are live in the studio with us.
Or today, right here on Shout Out. Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over 5 categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations, places and people, and Shout Out's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to 5, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shout Out Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt. Someone actually did it this year. Lara would be
this
proud.
This year, when we are, this is the first show
yes.
of the year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
How are we all? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Andy.
How many
years are getting slower as the years go on.
You wait till you reach my age, if you do.
Oh, gosh.
So now I ought to explain, because, of course, we just played the awards jingle there.
As
we got pinged to death as the new year hit, with people like, no, I need to get my nomination in, I need to get my nomination in. So we've extended nominations by a few weeks.
We have. Which
people
is wonderful.
Were tardy.
Yeah, so. There were. I think there's been so much going on this last year. I was saying this to Andy the other day, that I think people start to do things and then they end up doing something else. So, listeners, listen, get your votes in.
Nominations.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Get yes. your nominations in.
Yes.
And then they can vote.
I knew that.
Well, we don't normally have them open over Christmas. It's normally kind of like November type time, yeah. but they're later this year for lots of different technical reasons, venues and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I don't think we took into account that people get quite busy at Christmas. So we thought we'd give you a couple more weeks to get your nominations in. So, yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And it's a very easy sort of list. I don't know if you would call it questions, but a list of boxes to fill in, you know, who you're voting for, why you want to vote for them, and how we would contact them if they were
because we can't get hold of them. It's a bit difficult
right.
to give them an award, isn't it, really?
Absolutely.
So, hi, who are you?
But there are some incredible individuals and groups and organisations.
Yeah. We do get some funny ones. We do have people saying, they're on my phone list. Like that's helpful.
Right, yeah.
So, if you are nominating someone, please actually tell us how we can get hold of them. An email address or a phone number or something.
Don't put in brackets, I text them all the time.
Yes.
We need a bit more than that.
Especially then they don't tell us who they are.
That's right. Yes, I've just realised an extra problem with that.
Anyway, it's a really packed show. So I'm going to go straight into it. As you probably see, there's all kinds of stuff kicking off with trans support and stuff. And health hit the news recently and stuff's been funning out a bit more. I've listened to this.
Well, the trans issue is not going away, and I don't think it's going to get much better in 2025, if at all. We've got J.K. Rowling still hitting out at the trans community. We've now got Stephen Fry joining in with the negative voices. We got Trump coming in fighting against it. I think we have a huge team of people and masses of supporters. So don't let you think that you're on your own, because you are absolutely not. There's so many people out there who love you. And I don't just mean within the trans community or the LGBT community. There's a lot of love from cisgendered people who are straight, who aren't trans, but understand that you don't go for minorities, because history shows that's not the way to go. I'm joined by Susie Green, who is one of those fighters that got her head well above the parapet. Welcome to Shout Out, Susie.
Oh, thank you for having me back on again. It's lovely to see you again.
It's so important. And of course, there's...
The middle of 2023 that Lizzie and I were talking about this. And the NHS then was bad, and now it's even worse. So we had this idea that we needed to do something for trans people of all ages, but we just didn't have the means to get it started. And then, surprisingly, at the beginning of 2024, we had an offer from someone who wanted to support us to be able to start the company up. And so we set up. So we're a non-profit. We are intending, as soon as we possibly can, to provide subsidised care for people who can't afford private healthcare, and we know that that's a big demographic of people. But we provide healthcare for trans people of all ages, including trans youth and including puberty blockers.
Ah, right. The magic word, puberty blockers. There's been a right fight, not just in this country, but around the planet, and a pushback. We've got some countries that are forward thinking, like Spain, Germany. Does it really shock you that when the CAST report came out and there was talk of puberty blockers, and somebody who's gay is now running the NHS, and that is a shock because they've turned also against the trans community. There is so much evidence, years worth of evidence of puberty blockers being given to children, and they've disregarded all of that evidence.
Yeah. And not just that, you know, there's been some huge takedowns at the CAST review, but somehow still it is being treated by politicians as this holy grail of information on what should be done for transgender young people. The fact that the entire community has turned around and said that it's biased, politically motivated report that has been done by somebody who didn't have any access to trans youth and deliberately, you know, stopped anybody who was trans from being part of that team. The fact that those factors, even just those minor factors, should have made people question the origins. We now know Kemi Badenoch has stated that this was done, and the work with putting people into the EHRC, etc., those kind of things, were done deliberately to undermine trans rights. And yet still, you know, a new Labour government whom I expected to actually look at this with maybe a little bit more of a critical eye have accepted everything that's written in there as if it's fact. And it's got so many issues with the studies that it refused to acknowledge, the members of the team that are on there that we know have got a gender critical viewpoint, the statements that have come out of it, and now following that, the puberty blocker ban that Victoria Atkins put into place before they closed down Parliament, and then the fact that Wes Streeting picked it up and ran with it and still is, it's shocking to me, especially when we know that there was a room full of transgender children and their families, 8 young people and their parents sat with Wes Streeting and told him how bad the puberty blocker ban was, how bad it affected them, their children, the negative impact it would have if it was made permanent. He promised them that he heard them. One mum that I've spoken to who was in that space said it was the most traumatic hour she's ever spent with one young person, talking about 2 of her friends who took their own lives. And he looked them in the eyes and he told them that he heard them, and then he went ahead with the ban anyway. And then he stood in Parliament and laughed and joked about what they were doing by extending the ban, and not only doing that, but then also making administration of the blocker to a young person in this country an illegal act, making it a supply, which means then that if a parent injects a young person after the 1st of January, they would be seen to be supplying the medication as well. It's shocking, hugely, massively disappointing. But there's also a huge part of me that just wonders, where on earth is this coming from? Where is this hostility against kids and young people from being able to access life-affirming, life-saving care? What is the problem? And it's only trans kids, because precocious puberty is perfectly safe for, and kids who've already been on it within the NHS, or who were on it before, who managed to get an NHS GP to take it forward, it's still safe for them as well. So there's a huge disconnect in here somewhere, and it's really, really concerning me. It's hugely prejudicial, but this is going to kill people. It really is. And that, for that, he can never be forgiven. No. Our current government, our current Labour government, for allowing this to go into law and to be made permanent and to create this horrible environment that criminalises parents just for looking after the best interests of their kids. That can never be forgiven. It's unforgivable.
It is. Now, moving on, Susie, you are about to clash with this law. How do you see yourself moving forward now? Are you going to make this a court case?
No, we're not, because we think it would need to be a family who have been affected by this that would need to make it a court case. But we are acting. So we had legal advice, because obviously as soon as the original ban came in, we realized that we were going to have to change the way that we were working in terms of how we were operating, particularly for trans youth who needed blockers. So we got some really good legal advice. And the legal advice that we were given then and now basically points out that there is a legal route for families to take to be able to get access to puberty blockers, but it just means that everything has to be done outside of the UK. It's a bit like somebody going into, you know, you can't smoke weed here. It's a prohibited drug. It's you know, it's illegal to do that here, but you can knowingly get on a plane to go to Amsterdam and go sit in a cafe in Amsterdam and have a smoke and eat some space cake or whatever floats your boat, I suppose. And that's completely legal because it's entirely outside of UK jurisdiction. Therefore, you know, we're not telling people to go down an illegal route. We are not telling people that they should break the law. What we're telling them is that we have a way to support them to get access for their kids if they need it. And, you know, I talk to desperate parents day in, day out, whose children are in pieces and who they're trying to keep alive. And if, you know, they would break the law, I think, many of them, if it came down to it, to protect their kids' lives. But what we are doing is we're providing them a way to get the kids the medication that they need that will keep them safe, but to do so in an entirely lawful way.
So does that mean that people will have to go to countries like Spain and Germany for treatment and then come back with their children after they've had the puberty blocker?
So they basically will have to go to a non-UK-based. So they'll have to travel outside of the UK and Northern Ireland, Wales, Northern Ireland, Scotland, etc. They'll have to travel outside, and any administration of the medication will have to be done outside of the UK as well. And yeah, I mean, EU countries are probably the best places to facilitate that happening.
Legal in Southern Ireland?
The Republic of Ireland is still open, so it's still legal in the Republic of Ireland. So if somebody wanted to hop across to the Republic of Ireland and the medication was both purchased and administered there, that would be legal. But we do expect that the Republic of Ireland will follow Northern Ireland at some point, whether it be a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, whatever. So it's kind of a little bit of a dangerous alternative at the moment, but people can still use that route if they want to do so. We've kind of said to people it's still open and it's still there as an option, but that they can't bring medication back for their children anymore, which they could before under the terms of the previous ban, which means that they have to go there, get the medication there, administer it there, and then fly back. That's legal currently. Okay. But we expect that to change.
You expect that to change?
In the Republic of Ireland, we believe that the Republic of Ireland will follow Northern Ireland. They generally do.
Okay.
We just don't know. Okay. But that's what our assumption is that the Republic is not a long-term prospect, but that it's still open now.
Okay. Do you think there's any possibility that the UK government will try and cover this loophole? Or do you think, like other things, like you said, smoking weed and even going to Switzerland to end your life is outside of the UK and people have been doing that? Obviously, there's a cost involved with those things. Is this going to be very costly for parents who are probably struggling?
Yeah, I mean, there's just no way around it. It is. And, you know, this is the other thing as well. It's, again, widening the divide between the people who can afford to access this type of healthcare for their kids and those who can't, who have no, absolutely no choice at all, which is why, you know, our nonprofit side, we, in the new year, we're going to look at ways of, you know, our healthcare is private. It's not for free. And everybody should be able to access NHS care as and when they need it, gender affirmative care that allows them to walk through a process that doesn't have them jumping through hoops and having to sign up for clinical trials. Otherwise, they don't get access to medication, which is totally ethically and morally wrong. There's no way people should have to pay for this. But for us to be able to provide what we provide, you know, we have to pay wages. And we'd love to be able to offer it for free, but we are going to be stepping up our fundraising efforts in the new year to offer subsidized healthcare for people. The one thing that we can never cover is medication, because we're not a medication provider. We do not provide the medication at all. And people have to buy that. But, you know, the other parts in terms of like the therapeutic support, the, you know, the referrals to the consultants for the prescribing, et cetera, who are all based in the EU, you know, those things we would still be able to facilitate and under a subsidized care model. And that's what we're hoping to be starting to really look into in the new year, because then at least it would just be the travel and the medication that people would have to find the money for. But at the moment, people are having to find the lot. It's a huge burden on families already stretched, you know, beyond capacity in an emotional, you know, manner because of what the government is doing by waging war on trans youth and blockers in particular.
Do you see a point down the line where trans kids and their families will be knocking on EU country doors and saying that we want asylum?
Well, families are already moving. I've spoken to three families over the course of the last few weeks who are actively looking to move outside of the UK because of this. And I think the, you know, WPATH, EPATH, USPATH, AusPATH, et cetera, all of the other countries in the world who, you know, I mean, both France and Germany have come out with similar reports to the CAST report that actually state that puberty blockers are really safe and effective and have got loads of evidence to support their use. And they support affirmative care and they support, you know, affirmative use of cross-sex hormones for young people as appropriate. So, you know, we're international outliers now, and we're getting further and further away, further down that diversity list. And what's even more shocking is the person who is driving this is a gay man. I mean, what on earth is going on in his head that he thinks this is okay? It's not. He's putting young people's lives in danger.
Susie, we've run right out of time, I'm afraid. Thank you for joining us, and no doubt we'll have you back in the future to see how things are going. And hopefully 2025, we'll see a rise back of help for trans kids especially. Susie Green, thank you.
Thank you.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Imagine Dragons. Nice to meet you, that's good.
Oh, nice to meet you too. Oh,
nice to meet you too.
Nice to meet you.
Hello, how are
you? Hello, I've seen them live.
Oh,
like,
have you?
Just like drop that in. Oh, yeah.
I bet they're really good.
They are incredible.
Yeah.
And 21 Pilots, who have got a similar sort of sound.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you like them, you probably like them. Yeah. Them and them.
So it was really cool New Year's Eve because Sophie Ellis Bextor was performing, wasn't she, with Jake Shears?
Yes.
And Carl's just running around going, Andy's interviewed them, Andy's interviewed them.
Both of them.
Both at Bristol Pride, weren't they?
Yeah.
Bless them. I thought it was a brilliant show.
Yeah, and both such lovely people.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
They were. Yeah. They were. Well, yeah. Jake, I was there. I missed the interview with Sophie Ellis Bextor, but I would have loved to have been there.
Oh, but we've had her twice on the show at Pride.
Well, I missed it both
Terry
times.
Starr. There
What's going
hiding
on?
Hiding from Sophie Ellis Bextor.
One time it was lovely. She was there with her little kids and the kid had ear defenders on. It was the sweetest thing you'd ever seen.
Yeah, little baby.
But she is very nice. A lot of people say so. Yeah. Her mum's really nice as well.
Yes.
Janet Ellen. Blue Peter.
Yeah, yes. Blue Peter presenter back in the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Here's one made earlier.
I thought Human League were pretty good. When we interviewed them. Oh, that was in
that was in parallel dimension.
Yeah, parallel dimension, yeah.
That's where they should be.
Same as Mel C.
No. Mel C, it wasn't her fault. That
I
was
know
her agent.
I know.
I think a lot of it is the agents. When bands don't want to talk to you, I get the feeling
that
their management.
I'm pretty
you know
sure
Human
it's
League?
Human League. It was
Pride,
Human League.
They had two agents at Pride.
Did they?
Yeah, two agents. We had to go through two agents.
Or for Human League?
Yeah.
Well, they said no before they even got there, so it was not going
to
happen.
They said no, and I went up to Phil Oakey and I said, what, don't you want me, baby?
Don't you want me?
Oh.
And on that note, should we get some new headlines?
Why not? This is Shout Out News. Welcome along. We kick off the new year with three appreciations of people who have passed on at the very end of 2024 and who were important allies of the LGBTQIA communities at home or overseas. The former President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, has died at the age of 100, reports the Sky News Channel. Mr. Carter was a Democratic president in the late 70s. The BBC News Channel adds that his presidency oversaw a progressive agenda, which included international diplomacy, which saw a détente in the Cold War, and support for civil rights measures at home. The 39th president will be remembered also as an ally to LGBTQIA+ people, reports the gay magazine The Advocate. The Human Rights Campaign's Kelly Robinson said, all of us at HRC feel an immense loss with the passing of the former president. In recent years, he became a prominent voice in support of LGBTQ rights, speaking out for marriage equality at a time when most other national leaders in the US still opposed it. For decades after he left the White House, he continued to make public service his enduring priority through his work with Habitat for Humanity and the Carter Presidential Center, cementing his reputation as a champion for human rights and as one of the all-time great former presidents. Carter was a devout Christian, but his faith did not include homophobia. Indeed, in 2015, he said that Jesus of Nazareth would approve of marriage equality. Tributes have been paid to the former Bristol-based author Daryl Bullock, who used his considerable skills with the pen to publish books on LGBTQIA issues and produced a rich vein of journalism of issues affecting West Country LGBT+ people. Mr. Bullock passed on at the age of 60 on December the 23rd. He was a native of the West Country, but had recently relocated to the beautiful Cumbrian countryside. Daryl was described in the independent newspaper B247 as a veritable bard of the bent, broken and baroque by his friend Antti Partridge of the Swindon-based rock group XTC. His books covered everything from the world's worst records to the relationship between gay nightlife and political activism. His next book, a biography of the engineer, songwriter, manager and record producer Joe Meek, will be published posthumously this year. For many years, Daryl was the editor of the LGBTQIA+ listings page in the Venue magazine, the essential guide to everything gay in Bristol in a pre-internet age. Later, Mr. Bullock took on the management of The Spark, a new age and activist newspaper, and he continued to operate it for several years in an increasingly difficult environment. One of the original founders of Shoutout, Mary Milton, wrote in B247, "Daryl will be remembered for his generous support of the community and for his well-researched book
books on music and LGBT plus culture. Others involved in Shoutout remembered that some gentle pressure on the then management of BCFM Radio needed to be applied to get the necessary doors open to the Shoutout project. That pressure came from a timely article in Venue written by Mr. Bullock. The independent music journal Louder Than War noted that The Velvet Mafia, The Gay Men Who Ran the Swinging Sixties, was a book that was a winner of the Prendelin Music Book Prize in 2022. Mr. Bullock's funeral will be held on Wednesday the 15th of January at 11:15 at Distington Hall Crematorium, Distington, which is near Workington in Cumbria. Mr. Bullock is survived by his widower, Niall. And finally, another LGBTQIA plus ally, the broadcaster Johnny Walker, has passed on at the age of 79. He was suffering from idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, an inflammation of the lungs which caused a terminal illness. Mr. Walker had several children by his first marriage, and in an interview once noted that he told them that if they ever came out as gay, their parents' love for them would be absolute and unaltered. Mr. Walker began his career on Swinging Radio England, one of the less successful of the myriad of pirate radio stations broadcasting off the coast of European countries during the middle 1960s. Walker formed a friendship with John Peel, working across a narrow stretch of water at Wonderful Radio London, and would take a dinghy to visit him. And eventually Walker would join a third pirate station, Radio Caroline, anchored off Frinton-on-Sea. A man of considerable principle, Walker, along with Robbie Dale, chose to remain with Radio Caroline after the government passed legislation to formally outlaw the pirates in August 1967. His speech, made as the new law went into effect, is well known. Mr. Walker continued to lobby for commercial radio's introduction and the liberalisation of broadcasting through the 70s. At times he worked for the BBC, and in the 80s had a spell in Bristol when he worked for Radio West and later GWR. He had latterly been presenting Sounds of the 70s for BBC Radio 2 and special programmes for the older person's network, Boom Radio. Well, that is your Shoutout news offering for the first week in 2025. It's sure to be a roller coaster of a year, so do keep in touch with what's happening via your local LGBTQIA plus media. Why not make us your homepage on the internet? We are at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout news, this has been Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
A bit of Bublé.
I've not heard that.
Bit of bubbly.
Not heard this one.
No. Bublé.
Don't blame it on me.
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you normally a Bublé fan, or are you just this song?
I've always liked him. Yeah. Not a huge fan of everything. I think he's lovely, and I think his music is almost always upbeat.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not my genre, no. But I like this.
But it's fun, easy listening. And it's that kind of thing at Christmas, you'd have it on in the background. Like,
oh, yeah. Absolutely. Or dancing around fireworks.
Are you a fan, Emma? Is it your cup of tea, is it?
I'll be with you, dancing around in the background. Are you doing the washing up?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, no, that's a good idea. Can you imagine doing the washing up to this?
Such fun. I had to get it in there once. So, yes, you may have heard another voice just then, and that is our lovely guest, Emma, from Bristol Harmonic.
Enharmonic, isn't it? What? Enharmonic?
Yeah, hello.
Enharmonic. Oh, I did it again. Sorry, Enharmonic. Thank you for coming along to Shout Out this evening.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here. Happy New Year.
Nice
Happy
one to New kick Year. Off the new year with too, isn't it? So
it is. Yeah. So we were having a little chat off air about everything that's been going on. But could you sort of catch the listeners up with who you are and what you've been doing?
So yeah, Bristol Enharmonic, which nobody could ever say right, so don't worry, is one of the newest, is the newest LGBTQ plus choir in Bristol.
Oh, for now. I'm sure it won't last for long, will it?
There's
lots of them coming around.
We're going to claim new for a little bit longer. And we started this time last year, so we've gone from about 10 singers last January and now have 24 in the choir. And we've got our new members evening next week. We're starting back next week. And so we're looking for more people to join us, because we'd like to get, I reckon if we could get to 40, that would be brilliant. So kind of not too many, so that you kind of know everybody in the choir, and it's really friendly, and it is at the moment. But just a few more to help us have a kind of fuller sound, and maybe a few more parts when we can divide up when we're singing.
That sounds like definitely something you will achieve this year. If you look back to the, you know, this time last year, did you expect to be where you are?
Yeah, no, I really hope we do grow. And it's been a bit of a year, because just we started the new choir and you kind of go, come and sing, and you don't know who's going to turn up and how many people and what they're going to be like. So we feel really fortunate to have got to this position. We've got it's a really lovely group of people, really friendly. And then we did our first performance last August, which was at the Hand in Hand Festival. So our first ever performance was in the Beacon Hall at the Beacon, which was a little bit daunting.
Biggest LGBT plus choir event in the country, is it not? It's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Incredible. What did you sing?
So for the kind of, we did a song with all the Bristol choirs, which was really magic, because then you could sort of not have to concentrate so hard, I shouldn't say that, and see the audience
relax
and enjoy the reaction. So that was brilliant, because that's like 2,000, you know, queer people singing along and joining in, which is brilliant. But then for our performance, there was like, I think it was 18 of us then. So we sing kind of a mixture of things. So we have a musical director, Rob, and assistant musical director, Kelly. They're both really talented and do like arrangements. So we sang a song that Rob had actually written that was about Park Street, called Park Street. And then we do things that kind of, we do... from Dear Evan Hansen, we do You Will Be Found, so kind of anthemic musical numbers. And then some kind of, I like all the melancholy ones. So we did one called Order and Chaos by Lady Masary, which is basically about the fact that we're all going to die, which, you know, it's very beautiful, and I liked it. But so it's a mixture of kind of upbeat stuff and then more kind of
It sounds things. Really balanced, and something that everybody would probably enjoy within that selection.
Yeah, I hope so. Because we've just done a performance with Bristol Gay Men's Chorus. As part, they very kindly invited us along to guest with their winter concert. So there, you know, we're doing a share number, you know, with moves with them. It's good fun. But then we also do kind of, we did Country Roads, so like real classic. We did the Home Alone Christmas theme. I didn't know there was a Home Alone Christmas theme, but there was. So, you know, it is a bit of a mixture.
What's the Home Alone? I mean, I know all the songs, but
I'm not going to sing it. It's really high.
I'm sort of picturing which one. I mean, the music from those films is really beautiful. So.
You'd know it if you heard it.
Yeah. I'm going to sing it off air. It's not happening
right now.
I'll
sing it to you afterwards.
Carry on.
Yeah, and we sang at Southmead Hospital as well, as part of their Christmas programme, their Fresh Arts programme there. So that was really nice to do a couple of Christmassy ones and then a mixture.
Wow. So what do you have planned for this year?
So, as I say, Tuesday we rehearse in Bedminster, 7 till 9, and we're looking for new people to join. So we'll be back starting next week, and we'll be starting to learn new songs, which will be for a performance coming up in the summer, but I don't know yet what that's going to be, because we haven't worked out yet. But
well,
there will
it is
be
only
a
January
summer performance. 2nd. Yeah.
You've got a long time yet.
I'm assuming it'll be around Pride time and we'll be doing something.
Yeah. It sounds like such a lovely group of people, and I expect it's become really important to some of you, if not all of you there, to have that queer community that are all doing something you love.
Yeah, I mean, singing is lovely. I mean, you just feel better for singing. And then singing with a group of people is actually really special. You know, you can be having a bit of a rubbish Tuesday from work, and you kind of, you know, you go home, you sit on the sofa and go, I can't be bothered to go out. And then you go, actually, no, I will. And you just, you know, it just takes your mind off everything. You're just singing. And then singing as a group when you're creating something together that then you're going to perform for others is really magical.
Yeah, because it's uplifting for you and for the people listening.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be a very exciting year.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
So if someone's listening, though, and they're like, oh, I don't know. No, I find myself singing in the kitchen or in the shower, but I don't know if I want to go and sing on a stage and the like, but I might give it a go. Is there a requirement to join? Is it auditioned, or can anyone pop along and at least have a go? Or
yeah, we'd say anyone to get in touch with us, and then we'll send all the details. But yeah, just turn up and give it a go. So you don't have to read music. I don't read music, so I just learn from listening again and again and again on repeat, singing in the car or shower or wherever you are. So you have all the music files that people can access. Some people can read music, but not everybody. Lots of people have sung maybe a bit at school and then haven't sung for years and years and years. So kind of come going, oh, I don't know if I can sing, but it's
that
like,
would be me.
let's find out, you know, it's safe. It's not like, I mean, the reason I sing in a choir is there is no way I would be singing on my own. Mm. I'd be absolutely terrified. But when you've got a group of people supporting you, you can give it a go. It's very safe. It's very friendly. And we're all learning. And because we learn new, you know, we'll be starting on Tuesday. We'll be learning new things. Mm. None of us will know it. You just got to sing it and just work it out, and you'll make mistakes and you'll get it wrong, and that's fine. So I hope it doesn't feel like people would be put off. As I say, it's a friendly group. Just come along and give it a go.
It's LGBT. They're always lovely and friendly. All LGBT groups are, really, aren't
I
we?
Think
we're,
so.
We're all lovely people.
Exactly. Well, we need more. We need as many safe spaces as we can get, and I think creative safe spaces as well. You know, there's so many people out there who very much want to be a part of something. So I think the more things like this that are going on, well, it can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's the point of performing as well. So you're visible and you're saying, you know, here is the LGBTQ plus community, and this is what we look like and this is what we sound like, and you can kind of hear us and enjoy that. That's really important. Mm. And you kind of sometimes forget. I mean, I've been, you know, your listeners don't know, I'm an old lesbian. I've been around for a long, long time. You can kind of forget sometimes what it can be like on the edge of community. But we've just put a Facebook post out saying, you know, we're looking for new members next week. And we got loads of homophobic comments. And okay. You kind of just remember again that you go, oh, hang on a minute. Mm. This is really important. And this is a really why we should have these safe spaces to come together and do something joyous. Mm. It's really important.
Absolutely. And it's good at, you know, also helping people come out of their shell as well.
Yeah.
You can get quite introvert, especially if you've encountered homophobia or transphobia or something like that, you know, and getting together with a bunch of other nice people and doing something fun together can be really good for your own like mental well-being and like, can't it?
And also a lovely, gentle way to make friends. You know, it's coming to radio for me was the way that I made friends when I moved to Bristol from a small town, you know, and I looked into doing things like this, like, you know, joining a choir. You just got me first, shout out. And I never left.
I just tried.
Someone's going to be there on Tuesday, I think.
I'm working on it.
We can rent
around. Yeah, I'm on lease.
But yeah, I mean, singing is alongside, isn't it? So yeah, it's easy. You've obviously got to walk through the door that first time. But if people let us know they're coming, we look out for them. Mm. You know, we welcome everyone. And it's, yeah, you're singing alongside in a group. It should hopefully be a good way to make friends.
Yeah, absolutely. So to get in touch, you're on Facebook?
We're on Facebook.
You've got a very long email.
We've got an email that I'll have to spell. I apologise. But it's hello@bristolenharmonic.org. But enharmonic is the tricky bit, so it's enharmonic, so it's hello@bristolenharmonic.org.
Wonderful. Well, I hope there's some people listening tonight that think, do you know what, this year, new hobby, I'm going to get back on that stage.
Yeah. Oh, we hope so. I'd love to see them.
Thank you so much for coming on to share that with Shout Outs listeners this evening. And yeah, I just hope you have a great new year.
Thank you very much.
And best luck for Tuesday. Hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. Back in a minute. The Shout Out Listeners Awards for 2025, sponsored by YouGo, are now open. There's 22 awards over 5 categories, including performers, artists and writers, events, groups and organisations,
places and people, and shout out's most prestigious awards of them all, the Gold Awards. For 2025, the number of Gold Awards has increased to 5, including Diversity Champion of the Year, Most Diverse Company, the Make It Happen Award, Inspirational Role Model of the Year, and our most prestigious of them all, Hero of the Year. The Shoutout Listeners Awards are your awards. To nominate someone for an award, visit our brand new website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out Podcast.
Lovely Billy Porter and What Time It Is. I do like that song. That's quite a nice one, that one. I had a couple of cracker songs this tonight.
A couple crackers.
So, right, are you going to sing for us? So it sounds like we might be leading you to another hobby there.
Is the song the one that's in the church? Is that the theme tune when Macaulay Culkin goes into the, Kevin goes into the church and the choir singing that beautiful song?
You asked me that before we went on air. I'd have looked it up and played it for you.
Sorry. I mean, there's so many lovely songs in it. I've actually listened to the soundtrack not that long ago, but I couldn't tell
you. It was
you.
Years ago it came out. You know.
Oh, what, Home Alone?
Yeah.
Well, Macaulay's my age.
Yeah.
So, almost exactly, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 1991, something like that. The first
he was
film.
11 when he was in
there.
I don't
and
know
they did
I
it kind of like him and the mum, because she was also in.
Yeah.
She's and she was in the Beetlejuice and Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Catherine O'Hara.
Yeah, that's
it. They're good friends.
Yes, yeah, and they were back on the set or they did a recreation of it
they
or something,
did.
Didn't they?
Yeah, and he's doing so well in his mental health recovery and his
addiction
recovery.
Because he did slip off the rails a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he got addicted to heroin and was having a very difficult time. So it's wonderful to see him happy and in his recovery with his lovely wife and two beautiful children.
Yes.
Who knew I knew so much about Macaulay Culkin, eh?
So,
yeah, I've also got a newsflash.
Yeah.
From Shay Coffey, who runs Medway Pride Radio and takes shout out. This is in the Wakefield News. Fans of Toy Story have been left furious after shots of Woody have been released teasing a trans storyline for the fifth installment of the franchise. Leaked information alleges that Woody the toy cowboy will become trans non-binary, wearing makeup and changing their name to Coochie. Tyra Smith, whose daughter is a huge fan, said, "This is very welcome because it shows that not all toys are male or female. Some are both and some are neither."
Well, that is true, the last bit.
I mean, I'm going to hold this photo now up to the microphone because obviously we've got magic microphones and you'll be able to see how beautiful Woody looks.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But we are seeing, in all seriousness, I was talking about Bluey, the TV show, the children's TV show.
Oh, my cousins, little kids, love Bluey.
Yeah, I love it. And I was explaining to...
how old are you?
No, I genuinely love... This is why they brought out adult Bluey Crocs. There is an audience. for Crocs and Bluey, I am within that group of people. But it's incredibly encouraging to see children's TV bringing in characters who are neurodiverse, who are LGBTQI+. There's gay parenting in it, and it's all just so beautifully done. And I think actually we do need to see a lot more of that. We do need to see representation of everybody in TV programs, you know, right from a young age.
It is getting there. I still remember it was not that long ago because I'm trying to think where if I was in the last house or the current house, but you know, I remember even not realizing that there was like LGBT things on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, you get so into that bubble, and when you're like, because I'm in my mid 40s, you know, you just think you're never going to see it on TV. Any of it. It's so refreshing when you finally do. You know, this year's EastEnders Duff Duff was the lesbian couple getting married.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's wonderful. I mean, when I was growing up, I didn't know that there were gay or LGBTQI+ people on TV. They were just called flamboyant or boyish.
Brookside had the tiniest little lesbian kiss when I was a youngster, and all hell let loose. You remember that?
Yes, 1993, yeah.
Hollyoaks covered lots of things as the first people to cover
Lots of different complex storylines.
Did you see that they had...
I say lots of different things.
EastEnders as well.
LGBTQI.
They had the drag queen on... what did Terry
Strictly.
Wogan present? The quiz?
Blankety Blank.
And before Terry, it was Lily Savage.
After Terry.
Lily Savage. Somebody recently complained because there was a drag queen on the panel.
Yeah, they said it was
some people
disgrace,
don't get it.
They were like, "Hang on, have you watched the old series?"
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Larry Grayson.
Yeah.
Well, you go,
yeah.
You go
about
that.
Huge on the
telly. You go about that far, though. There was one thing. I mean, to be gay and on TV, you had to be very effeminate. And it's been researched, and it was so that it was okay as far as.
Didn't throw the horses, yeah.
Well, were concerned because it wasn't threatening, you know.
Yeah.
It was the sort of a normal guy, for want of a better phrase. Being homosexual was the big issue back then. They didn't like, you know. So,
but when you think,
I mean, the worst
thing
was, though, they did have some very funny catch lines, didn't they?
Yeah.
You know, like, shut that door.
That was very great.
I like you, but not that much.
Yeah. It was Dick Emery.
Yeah. And no one took any notice.
I
remember growing up as a kid, 60s, 70s, and if there was a gay character who was really camp or a drag queen in a panto, no one took any notice whatsoever. So why now in the 21st century is everyone in uproar?
The internet.
Maybe that's what turned me queer, you know, all those pantomimes.
The internet has two sides to it. It's very good at letting people experience more, and I think it did an awful lot for equality, because people who didn't know things could go research it in the privacy of their own home or on their phone, as it later became,
that
and
is,
the like. But then on
true,
the other
there's
hand,
a downside, isn't
you know,
there? Yeah.
Social media and the like whips it so quick, and quite often... it's not always true. You have to be so careful these days.
Yes.
You read something and you think it's true, and it's
well. That's why I wonder whether the Wakefield Advertiser or whatever paper it was you were reading from earlier, Steph, whether that might just be a slight wind up to get the local gammons going. The Toy Story 5 is going to have Coochie.
Coochie.
Title.
Can you imagine the Wakefield gammons? It's like
they're not going to sleep tonight.
They won't.
Their cheeks will be on fire. But I do think we need satire. I think, you know, that it creates conversation.
Do you think we have, to a certain degree, lost the ability to laugh at ourselves a bit?
Oh no. I think I laugh at myself more.
No,
than...
I don't mean you personally. I mean in general. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean,
well,
like,
we take ourselves too seriously. Is that what you mean?
Overall, I mean, the slightest thing, we get quite.
I think we're
up
more.
In
I think sometimes.
I think
you should be more like Larry Grayson, Andy.
Well, shut that door.
Yeah.
Is that Larry Grayson?
Shut that door.
No, well, showing it.
Yeah.
So,
I think. I think there's a lot more fragility.
Can I not be like the German in Hello, Hello with my little tanky?
Yes, you can. You can be whoever you want.
He was also good.
Uber, yes.
We'll love you just the same, whoever you are.
Thank you.
However you dress. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's how it should be.
Yeah, of course.
And we don't care if you've got a little tanky or not.
No, I'm not doing the awards in drag. I'm sorry, that's not happening.
Terry?
No. What were you doing?
Tanky or
drag?
Drag? No.
Okay. All right.
I'm not that good a drag queen. You don't want to see me in drag.
Anyway, that's it for this week. If you haven't, remember, we've just told you the nominations for the Shout Out Listeners Awards are open for a few more weeks still.
Yes, so now's the time to do it. All you need, plus the form to nominate, is on our special website, awards.shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week, we're getting all legal down in the USA. From myself, from Terry, from Steph, from the lovely Ez, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye-bye, now. Good night. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year. Such fun.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.